You know, I'm not sharing that lightly. It's something that's been on my heart all week. Some of the things I wrote down in about a minute and a half, but I'll share with you a few more points on that next week. But I want to tell you, the Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. Is that great? And you know what? Even when the world is shaken up, according to Psalm 46, the world is shaken, He's there. And He's promised to work. And we are a part of the body of Christ. And you know what happens, and this is getting into next week, I won't do it. But when your body hurts, the rest of your body helps. There we are. We're part of the body of Christ. And it may have been a right hand that got severely wounded and fell and is messed up. But I want to tell you, the rest of the body needs to step up and be a help, because the Lord is in charge of His bride, and He can restore and renew His bride. Okay? I love you so much. Hey, I'm going to do communion right now, and I've decided to, if this is started, is media with us on this? The camera's on, Becky. Thank you so much. I just didn't know. Okay, red light means it's on. See, I'm telling you, I'm learning this stuff, man. And thank you. But communion, we're going to do right now. And so if you don't have your elements, raise your hand, and we're going to receive communion. I'm making it a part of the sermon. And this sermon series is called Reverse the Curse. And I'm going to be explaining a number of weeks about some things about that. But I just want to say to you, you know, we've started a series on purpose, the timing of this, in the Sunday morning Bible class. God wants you well. In the home groups, God wants you well. That's God's heart. That's God's will. That's God's way. That's God's word. And so we want to be a people of the word. We want to follow God's way. And so God has more for us than what we've been walking in. I think that's something that's a witness to us. And I want to tell you, this verse a few years ago is really what got me started on this series. And I've been working on this series for probably the better part of a year. But it's been working on me for years. Okay? And this verse right here, Psalm 105, verse 37. He brought Israel forth. And this is talking about Him bringing them out of Egypt. And so remember what we're talking about here. We're talking about the Passover's taking place. He's rescued them from Pharaoh out of Egypt. And this is what Psalm 105, verse 37 says. He brought Israel forth also with silver and gold. Does that sound like provision? Yeah. Thank you. Because I want to tell you something. This is going into our offering too. You know, He's our provider. He's the provider. It makes a big difference in your life when you don't look at your job as your paycheck, but you look at the Lord as your provider. It's okay, your paycheck. That's one of the ways the Lord has for providing. But I want to tell you something. That's not the only way. He's the provider. And I was preaching at one church not too long ago, and they said, and I used the word wealth, okay. I used the word wealth, and I talked about health. And the pastor wasn't comfortable with that, and I said, okay. Well, wait, are you okay with provision? Oh, yeah, I like provision. All right, let's go with provision then. And a lot of times it's terminology. So whatever your terminology that you're comfortable with, I'm saying to you, the Bible says that He's the one that gives us the power to receive provision for wealth. He's the provider. And so, but He's also wants to be the provider of our health. And we need to see Him as our healer, Jesus as our health. And this is what it says. He brought Israel forth also with silver and gold. These were slaves one day, and they had overwhelming provision the next. These were slaves that, you know, with slavery type of lifestyle, there was a lot of stuff hurting on a lot of people, okay? I've done a little extracurricular activity recently, and some of my leadership team walked in, me stretching out on the floor there at my office this morning because, you know what, I needed to stretch. There were some things a little stiff, you know. Well, man, I thought about this. Man, slavery, you know, they had a lot of things hurting. And I want to tell you something. This is what God did for them. They were poor slaves one day. The next day, they were wealthy. They had a lot of provision. The next day, one day, they were hurting. The next day, look at what the Bible says, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Amen. Not one feeble. That means they were healed. They went, the sun went down that night and they were hurting, but when the sun rose up the next day, they were healed. None feeble. Now, I want to tell you something. This is what hit me about this scripture. If they could receive supernatural provision, if they could receive supernatural health and healing in Old Covenant, in Old Testament, Old Covenant, before Christ, what about us? Does he love the children of Israel back then more than he loves Freedom Life Fellowship now? Thank you for that. Helps me preach faster. But what I'm saying to you is that there's more for us to walk in. I don't know it all. I know a little bit, but I'll tell you what, I'm addicted to the Lord. Because I've seen too much, experienced too much. I see much more in the Word than I'm walking in. And you know what? God's birthed it in our heart, in my heart, for our church to walk in greater levels of this. I have some other pastors that say, you know, you can't believe God for your family, your church family, to walk in the supernatural provision and supernatural health. Yes, I can. Because you're not the shepherd here, I am. And you know what? I want to tell you something. The leadership team, well, I would say most of them, is in agreement with me on this. And it only takes two or three to agree. But I want to tell you something. Your leaders are important. Boy, don't we ever know that right now. Your leadership is important. They can lead you into doubt and unbelief, or they can lead you into faith and in victory and freedom. And so, boy, we have examples of that in Scripture, don't we? And so I'm telling you, let's just believe God. You don't have to understand it all. Let's just believe God. You don't have to know it all. Let's just put our trust and our faith toward Jesus. Because we have a better covenant than they had. Am I right? We have better promises than they had. Am I right? We have a better relationship with God than they had. Am I right? I'm only right because of what the Bible's saying. Okay? Because this is what New Testament says. We have a better covenant, better promises, better relationship with God. Let's believe God. Okay? And I want to tell you, let's trust Him. Let's take this bread, and I want to tell you, the whole deal with them waking up the next morning well. Of course, we know about Passover. We know what the blood did. The blood saved them. The blood protected them. The blood provided for their blessing. Thank God for the blood. Every little mama in Israel that night was thanking God for the blood because her firstborn was alive and well. I want to tell you, not only did they receive the blood for their salvation, their protection, their provision, but they also ate the roasted lamb. Same lamb, blood, same lamb was roasted. They ate the roasted lamb. And when they ate the roasted lamb, you know what? There was salvation. There was provision by the blood. There was healing by eating the lamb. You know what the Bible says? Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat, remember me, and receive in Jesus' name." Jesus said, "This is my body. This is my blood. My blood is shed for you. The remission of your sins." This is the truth of the new covenant, the power of his blood to set us free for our salvation, the remission of our sins. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Let's salute the Lord. Amen. Let's give praise to the Lord. Amen and amen. So that's the power of the blood. I love that about Passover, don't you? Well, what a picture that is. Well, I want to tell you, because that's ever true, and because his blood has never lost its power, because the stripes that he received for you. He received a stripe for you. By his stripes, Bible says, we were healed. That's past tense. Bible also says, by his stripes, we are healed. Boy, that's present tense. And so I want to tell you, it's for us. Now I want to tell you, our part is to believe and to receive. Bible says that when we renew our mind with this word, you reprogram your mind, your computer with this word, you begin to think his thoughts, you begin to see his ways, you begin to see and recognize and experience his heartbeat. Hope comes into your life. You renew your mind with this word, and according to the Bible, Romans 12, this is how your life is transformed. Hey, Bible says when we repent, repent means to change your mind. It's not deep and complicated. It doesn't require 5 gallons of tears. Now, if there are tears, it's okay, and it's worth it, because we're talking about transformation. We're talking about wholeheartedness here. But I want to tell you, when you repent, you change your mind. I want to tell you, you need your brain washed. You need your brain washed. Because our tendency is to follow culture, to follow history in our family, to follow medical science over the word. And I want to tell you, it makes a big difference the way you think. It makes a big difference the way you operate. When you renew your mind, you transform your life. You want your life changed? You need to, reprogram your computer with this word. And I'm going to say to you, salvation is so easy because Jesus has made it so easy, so possible to just receive and to believe in him. But I want to tell you, transformation of your mind may be the hardest thing a believer ever does, because it requires application on your part. Okay? And without you applying this word and reprogramming your mind, your life is not going to change the way it could. Repentance makes a difference. You're saying, when you repent, you're saying, not my way, but your way, God. I choose your way. And I want to tell you, that makes a difference in the spiritual realm. It changes your life direction. You're headed in the direction of your dominant thoughts. And so I'm just saying this to you because we've got people here, and I'm not picking on you, because this is a continual process of living on planet Earth with other humans. But you know what? We find ourselves in a position of civil war. Am I right? Oh, man, come on now. Some of you were in civil war last year, and you're free now. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Some of you a decade ago were in civil war, and you haven't forgotten it yet, but you've been healed. And it's a whole lot better on the victory side. But I want to tell you, one of the things about civil war is this, is that you've got the opportunity for all those words, for all those arguments, for all those words that hurt and brought shame and blame into your life, all the events, you've got the opportunity to replay those in your mind over and over again. And I want to tell you, we got to have a brainwash. We got to go from what other people have said and done to us, and the memory, the videotape of that wants to go in our mind. We've got to change that to what God's saying and what God's doing. And when you think about what God's saying and what God's doing, then you're headed in the direction that the Lord has for you. If you're replaying in your mind over and over Civil War, you're headed into deeper and deeper battle. Are you with me on that? Proverbs 23:7, the first part of verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so I'm announcing to you that your thought life can produce sickness in your body. Okay? Hey, your thought life can produce healing in your body. Oh, Pastor, it ain't that simple. Yeah, that's the starting line. It really is. Are your meditations, are your thought life, see, you have to be honest with this. Are your thought life, your meditations, are they producing life? Are you experiencing more light? Are you walking in greater love? Are you walking in healing and peace? Because I'm announcing to you, listen to me, godly thoughts will produce godly emotions. Godly emotions will produce godly atmosphere. Godly thoughts, godly emotions, godly atmosphere, godly attitude will produce godly action. Godly action will produce godly character. Is anybody listening?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, when you taste and see how good the Lord's way of life is, you become addicted to joy. Look, I deal with people that are addicted to emotions. And some of them are addicted to wrong emotions. And I want to tell you, it's amazing they go through this. And your brain, your soul can get addicted to wrong emotions. Where I'm telling you, if you enjoy a good mad, and you're just not living life unless you're mad at somebody, and you rehearse in your mind what you want to say the next time you see them. And if they say this, I'm going to say this. And boy, if I get the opportunity, I'm going to let them know this right here. And they're not going to ever come on. Well, I'm just announcing to you that you can get addicted to that. And I deal with people that even when things are going well, they're looking for somebody else to get mad at. Well, that's being addicted to an emotion. Well, I'm announcing you, you can get addicted to godly emotions. Godly emotions will draw you toward God. And you can get addicted to joy. You can get addicted to peace. You can get addicted to love. And when you walk in the Spirit, in His love and joy and peace, and then another kind, a dark emotion comes, you say, I'm not there no more. I used to live there. I don't have to go there. I can choose life. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, I want to tell you, you add those up a few days a week, then you've had a great week. You've add them up a few weeks out of the month, you've had a great month. A whole lot healthier month than you had a few months before. Is anybody listening? And so, listen, it creates a momentum. And it's not just for you. It is for you, but it's not just for you. It's for more than you. It's for the overflow of His love, His life, His joy, His peace to other people around you. That's what we call ministry. It's that overflow. I'm going to give you a couple examples. I know you don't mind this. But many Christians say that sickness is a blessing in disguise. Sickness is not a blessing. I know people say that. I had an adult tell me one time that, she was offered a high-paying job, I think in New York. It don't matter where it was, but I think it was in the Northeast. And the Lord made her sick. And she said, "The Lord made me sick." I said, "Well, why do you say that? Why would He do that for?" She said, "Well, He made me sick so I wouldn't get rich." I said, you don't know God very well. Because He don't make you sick like that. Now, I want to tell you something. Sometimes there's no condemnation if you're sick. Okay? We're all believing God for more. But I'm just announcing something to you, and I want you to understand this, that the Bible calls sickness a curse, not a blessing. The Bible calls it a curse. So if the Bible calls it a curse, let's not call it a blessing. Let's believe God that we are healed by Jesus, that the enemy's making sick. Right? And I want to tell you, it's a big difference whatever direction you're going. Are you the sick believing God for healing? Or are you the healed believing God for sickness to be gone? There's a little difference in the momentum, in the direction of that. But, we just want to be a help to you on this. But I want to tell you something. The Lord can take any situation, no matter what level of sickness that it is, or what trouble or civil war that's come into your life, He can redeem any situation and any circumstance for His honor and glory if we submit it to Him and if we surrender to Him. And so the first and most important step is to surrender and submit that situation to the Lord. Now, if you're claiming God did it, well, you're missing. Because the Bible calls sickness a curse. Let the Bible declare God's heartbeat and not religion. Let the Bible declare God's heartbeat and not the world. Or not Big Mama or Uncle Joe. Let the Bible be the source of our belief system. And this is what we end up hearing. Well, in my experience, no, don't go there. Because if your experience doesn't line up with this word, then the word is always right and your experience is always wrong. Our goal is to walk with the Lord in such a way that our experience represents what His word says. But when people want to disqualify the Bible by saying, in my experience, well, let God be true and every man a liar. So, it's not your experience that's the bottom line. It's not other people's experiences that is the bottom line. We're to submit our experiences to the Word, not submit the Word to our experiences. Opa said that right. And so in Deuteronomy 28, if you want to see what's a blessing and a curse, Deuteronomy 28 makes it real clear about blessings and curses. But sickness is always listed as a curse, never a blessing. Jesus introduced the new covenant so we could receive the blessings of Abraham. And the blessings of Abraham was health and healing. That was part of it. The blessings of Abraham was provision. That was part of it. And you know what? It's not because of what Abraham did. It was a grace covenant. And Jesus introduced the grace covenant for us in New Testament. That's why we call it New Covenant. Okay? And so it's very powerful. Galatians 3:13-14 describes it. Christ purchased our freedom. Boy, we ought to name a church like that. Freedom Life. Oh, we have. Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse, the doom of the law. And I want to tell you, and its condemnation. Now, there's a lot of preachers that want to mix the law and grace. And I want to tell you, there is a purpose of law when you're a baby. It's to teach you what's right and wrong. But I want to tell you, you cannot live the Christian life by mixing grace and law. As a matter of fact, He covers what we're supposed to do, because when we come to Him, He says that He will write His law on our hearts. Okay? It won't be a matter of what's on a stone. It'll be a matter of what Jesus is saying to your heart. And so that requires a relationship in order for that to happen. Because if not, you can walk in self and you can determine your own journey. Well, doesn't that get you anywhere? No. It gets you nowhere fast. And so I'm telling you, it's very, very important that we understand that grace is greater than the law. Okay? If you start operating by the law, then you're trying to justify yourself by your works. And I want to tell you what that's going to do. That's going to entice sin in your life, and you're going to find yourself falling down, if not that area, in another area. Because the law entices sin. It's like putting gasoline on a fire. All right? That's part of the purpose of the law, is to show you that you need a relationship with Jesus. It's not by your strength and it's not by your works. Okay? If you rely on the law, you're going to miss. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to be wore out. You're going to be burnt out. Because he didn't design you to operate by the law and by grace. Okay? If you're going to operate by the law, then you're going to see soon and very soon how much you need grace. But I want to tell you, when you come to grace, he's the one that gives you the strength to fulfill it. He's the one, it's by grace that you have the desire to follow after him and to operate in love toward other people. That's what grace does. And so I want to tell you, it's very, very exciting like that. But that's what the Lord loves to do. The law brings condemnation. And so he took care of the law. He took care of the curses. He took care of the law. He became a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is every man who hangs on a tree. We're talking about the cross. He was crucified. And he took the curses of this earth, the curses of our life, of our history, of our heritage, and he put it on himself on the tree. Now, what do we do with that? Well, okay. You know what? We're to believe and receive. Look at verse 14. To the end. See, what do we do with that? To the end that they're receiving Christ Jesus. By receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham. See, I'm not making this up. The blessing of Abraham will come upon the Gentiles. Will come upon people. Will come upon us. Come upon Freedom Life Fellowship. So that we, how do we receive the reversing of the curse? We receive it by faith. It's by faith. You know, everything that we receive spiritually is by faith. It's by faith. Without faith, it don't happen. It's all been provided by grace. But we need faith to appropriate what he has provided. And it's all by faith. Now, I want to tell you something. It is fact. As a matter of fact, we're big on Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is real big that the Lord is your protector. He's your refuge and your strength. But I want to tell you something. That truth, that promise, has got to be applied by faith to your life. The fact that it's in the Bible is not going to make a lot of difference if you don't brainwash, if you don't renew your mind to that truth and by faith appropriate that defense, that refuge, that protection into your life has got to be personally applied. By faith. Okay? That's the way everything operates in the spiritual realm. That's why we talk about grace a lot. That's why we talk about faith a lot, if you're ever wondering. All right? That we might receive the realization of these promises. He wants us to live these promises. He didn't give us these promises just to shoot for or something to excite us or something to say amen about and go home and live the way of the world. No, he gave us this so that we would, by faith, receive what he's provided by grace and allow the Holy Spirit to show us how to apply it. That's the Holy Spirit's job, is to show us how to apply it. So the promises in this Bible have been paid for by Jesus. By grace, he's provided. By faith, we activate these promises into our life. And so this is how that by believing, we reverse the curse. I want you to be clear and understand that when Adam fell in the garden, there was a divine curse that came upon the earth. There was a divine curse that came upon humans. Okay? Now, good news is this, is that Jesus on the cross, he paid for those curses to become blessings by Jesus. We can just say by Jesus on that. And so what we do is by faith personally apply those. One of the ways I explain that is that we understand the Passover. The blood was placed on the door of the homes. The blood of the little lamb was placed on the door. Now I want to tell you, the blood didn't start on the door. It started out in a basin where they captured the blood. It was in a basin. And they used hyssop to, in the blood, apply it to the doorpost, formed a cross. It's a beautiful picture. But I want to tell you something. If the blood never made it out of the basin onto the door, there was no Passover. There was no salvation. There was no protection. Do you understand? And so even though his blood has been shed on the cross for us, it must be applied. We must apply it. And so that's why it's very, very important for us to understand the ways of God on this. We can now receive God's blessing by faith in Jesus. It's not by our obedience. It's not by the law, obeying the law, that we qualify. Now see, if you want to operate by the law, and you say, well, I'm just wanting to serve God and honor God. But you know what ends up happening is that, you know, by law, I want to tell you, your own will, your own strength, your own agreement is going to conquer some things to a measure. But I want to tell you what ends up happening. You end up comparing yourself by others. And you end up saying this, well, I do this and this and this, and they don't. We compare ourselves by ourselves. Now, I want to tell you, that's a loser. Because I want to announce something to you. You may look at other people and say, well, at least I'm not doing what they're doing. Yeah. That has no merit with God. Hey, I'm announcing something to you. I'm trying to make this very, very clear. But I'm telling you something. If you operate by law and you compare yourself one to another, let me announce something to you. Somebody else is not your measuring stick. Somebody else is not your marker. Jesus is your marker. And compared to Jesus, we all fall short. And so that's why we need grace. We need mercy. We need grace. And all the people said. So it's not by your obedience that we qualify. It's by the obedience of Jesus on the cross. That's how we receive. All our curses have been paid for by the suffering of Jesus. That's why we got to renew our mind. Because Jesus wants to bless you with wellness. He didn't just pay for a ticket to heaven. He paid for wellness in your life. Is that good news? Now, the lying enemy will tell you that you're not, that you are unworthy to receive. And I want to tell you something. None of us are worthy to receive. There was only one worthy. And so, you know, if he comes at you with that, you can just say, yep, but Jesus. Yes, but Christ. And you point to the cross because that was his defeat. That was our provision for victory. Is what Jesus did. Jesus took our unworthiness on himself and was punished that we can receive the blessings he deserves. Do you get this? This is the beautiful picture of the cross. He became what we are on the cross so that we can receive what he is. Do you see that? Wow. Isaiah 53:5, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our guilt and iniquities, the chastisement, the needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Is that great news? Okay, that's his will, that's his purpose, that's what he paid for. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he personally bore our sins in his own body on the tree, as on an altar offered himself on it, that we might die, cease to exist to sin. Sin is to have no rule over us anymore. If sin's telling you that this is going to be with you the rest of your life, and that it's going to rule you the rest of your life, and be, sin is a lie. The devil is a liar. And he's telling you a lie because Jesus said he paid the price for you to be free from it. Now, sometimes it takes a process. Some people receive it by grace through faith, and there's immediate response. Other people, it's a process of growing in it. What are you saying? They have to renew their mind with this word to the place that hope is birthed in their heart, that it's real for them. Faith is ignited in their heart. That, you know what, I believe God for this, God makes it happen. And I want to tell you, it's activated by faith, made real and made personal. And that way it's not human behavior modification, it's transformation from the inside out. It's a supernatural thing that God does. He wants to supernaturally heal you from the inside out. A lot of people want a supernatural healing from the outside in so they don't have to change the in. God wants to change the in and for the in become out. He loves to do that. Jesus was tortured that we might live to righteousness. By his wounds, you've been healed. Boy, that's a done and done. Jesus was tortured and paid an extreme price for our forgiveness and our healing. I want you to see it as a 1-2 punch. Forgiveness and healing. No, we're not worthy, but he is worthy, and he wants us to receive the greatest gift, his grace and his love. It's undeserved, unearned. It's his favor. And so what are we to do? We got to fill our heart and our mind with his words. And then you know what? To the place that they settle in here, and that seed, this divine seed, is birthed in our heart, to the place that we can speak it. And we get people, you know, we give confessions of a new creation, of who we are in Christ to people. But I want to tell you, it's possible for them just to read that, and for it just to be routine, and for it to be a rote, and for it to be going through the motion. But I want to tell you, when they meditate on the Lord enough, the Holy Spirit wants to ignite this truth in our heart, and that divine seed will bring forth divine life in you. And when that divine life is birthed in your heart, then you're able to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's not just repeating words, it's speaking words of faith. Wow, that makes a heaven of a lot of difference. But you got to get there. You got to own it. You got to obtain it. You got to receive it. You obtain it. You don't attain it. And so there's a big difference in that. It's undeserved, unearned. And so fill your heart and mind with his words. Then you speak them. Great authority is released when we speak his life to our life and to our body. My little darling wife the other morning, because we work under the same roof, not in the same room, but real close, and we can hear each other. That works out for me. That's good for me. Not that I want to learn more about the mortgage business. I don't. I've learned more than I ever want to know, but I want to tell you something. It's important for me to have my wife just a few feet away and can hear everything being said where I'm counseling and where I'm ministering. You understand that? Well, I want to tell you, the other morning I was talking kind of tough. And she has a right to. She said, who are you talking to in there? Because I'm talking pretty tough. And I said, well, I'm having to talk to a part of my body that's misbehaving. That's not operating the way it's supposed to. And so what I was doing was speaking a word of faith and taking authority over a knee or an ankle, I don't remember which part it was, and telling it to get in line and to shut up and speak in peace on it and commanding it in the name of Jesus to operate the way it was designed to. Well, you know what? That sounds silly to the world, but I want to tell you, when you're operating by faith, he sends his word to heal. And are we going to speak to the mountain, speak to God about our mountain? Are we going to speak to the mountain about our God? Well, I want to tell you something. There's something very, very powerful in authority and speaking what God is saying, what God's doing. You know, the enemy wants to come and to steal a healing. He wants to come and steal your health. And so, well, hey, listen, this is what God wants to do. He wants to activate authority in our life against the enemy. And it's through the spoken word. We receive it on the inside. We speak it to the outside. And we resist the enemy until he flees. Well, how long do I do that? Till you're free. If you're not free, keep on resisting. Keep on believing. Keep on seeking. You see, you change your mind, you change your attitude. That's where hope comes. You speak it. You activate faith. You change your life that way. You change the condition in your life by operating the way God said to. Matthew 17:20. And he said to them, this is what he said to the disciples, because they wanted to know, how come we couldn't do it? How come we couldn't operate in healing or in this miracle that you can? How come we couldn't do it? They didn't understand, because they had done it before. And he said to them, it's because of the unbelief. Because of your unbelief. Hey, right here. I want to tell you, that says something to us. I want to apply it to you. You take, I want to tell you, when we're not receiving, we're not operating in faith, I want to tell you there's a tug of war going on and unbelief is winning. What do we do with unbelief? We do this. We reprogram our mind. We saturate our mind with His words. Okay? That's what activates faith. It's from the Word. There's Jesus' DNA in these words. Because of the unbelief. For assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Boy, we've given those away here. I'm telling you, they're so small, you drop it, you can't find it. And so it's not the size of your faith. It's whose faith are you relying on. It's the faith of Jesus in you. You'll say to this mountain, move from here to there. In other words, get off my porch and go swimming. You've heard me say that. Be cast into the sea. And it will move. And nothing will be impossible to you. Is that great news? Matthew 21:19. And this is with Jesus and the fig tree. And he says this, and he saw one single leafy fig tree along the roadside. Now these trees, fig trees over there, are not like the ones here. The ones here, well, the leaves first, then the fig. This particular fig tree, fig first, then leaves. And so when he sees leaves on his fig tree, the tree is saying to him, I have figs. And so this tree was a liar. This tree was lying. Now I want to tell you, he's fed up with lies. God hates lies. I want to tell you something. Leadership team will tell you, I do too. I don't put up with that. Okay, my boys would tell you. They get a whipping first over lying, then over doing something wrong. Okay, I come alongside them, and I do this with our leadership. I come alongside them when they stumble. When they mess up, I come alongside. But I tell you, you lie to me, I won't get in the middle of you. Okay, look, that's not being unscriptural. God hates lying. Guess where every lie comes from? Every lie comes from the liar. And so there's reason for that, okay? And if someone will be open and honest with me, boy, I'll go to hell and back with you. But you start lying to me, I'm going to call you on the carpet and draw a line. Okay, this is this tree, and Jesus said, just got through dealing with the money changers at the temple. See, this is context here. And you know what? They were lying. They were presenting to the people what Father was not like. They were misrepresenting Father. They were telling the people through the money changers that God's more interested in your money than He is your heart. And He wants to get your money. Well, I want to tell you, that's misrepresenting God, and they were lying. That's why He started the whip ministry on them. And He cleaned them out. Huh? Because He was taken up for folk that couldn't take up for themselves. That's when you see Jesus get angry. It wasn't ever about Him. It was about either people that couldn't take up for themselves that He got mad about, or they misrepresented God. He got mad about that. Boy, it'd be great if we'd limit ourselves to that. But I'm here to tell you, He had just dealt with liars. And here He comes, and now there's a fig tree lying. And so I want to tell you, He rebuked the liars that were men. He rebuked the liar that was a tree. And He spoke to that tree and He said, you're done. Boy, this is speaking to the religion of Israel. You're done. No fruit. You have a form of religion. No fruit. Just law. No fruit. Never again shall fruit grow on you. And the fig tree withered up at once. The fig tree was already dead. By the time they came back the next day, if you know the story, they saw the evidence that it was dead. And Peter said, Lord, remember this tree you rebuked? I want to tell you, it's the power of words. He used the authority of God to resist and to rebuke. And I want to tell you, there's great power that we have over the enemy, over lies, over liars, over situations that are lying, if we'll just take authority and use it. We have authority. You don't have to put up with that mess. Okay? Recognize it for what it is. He said, never again. And so our believing is the way of the Lord to the supernatural. That's it. The impossible to the reality in your life. Instead of confessing your sickness and your symptoms to everybody, Because, man, there's a tendency to go do that. Oh, I feel so bad. You know, this is hurting on me today. And we repeat it over and over all day long. What are we trying to do? To get somebody to join our little pity party. Well, I want to tell you, they don't stay long. They don't remember it. They don't want to come back to the pity party. There's no life in that. Okay, but that's kind of what we want to do. And so instead of confessing your sickness and your symptoms all day long, why don't we take a break here? Let's have a faith break. Let's have a praise break. And let's confess what God says about our body. Versus a feeling or a pain or an uncomfortable or what other people are saying about us. Oh, how you doing? Speak with the authority of God's will and God's word. And I'm not telling you to be dishonest. I'm saying speak directly to your sickness and your symptoms and command them by faith to get off your front porch and go swimming. That's Bible. Well, I'm just not going to do that. Well, enjoy. I want to tell you, there's change. When are we going to start agreeing with God and not be a people of our culture, but be a people of the Bible? Yes. Your body's listening to your thoughts. Man, I'm telling you, your thoughts can lead you into sickness. Your thoughts can lead you into health. The Bible says a merry heart. Man, when you're thinking about the goodness of God and the love of God, and you're filling your heart with the love of God and the goodness of God, it produces godly emotion of joy. And the Bible says a joyful heart, a merry heart doth good. It's like medicine to your whole system. I love for that. Your body's listening to your thoughts. If you're thinking thoughts because of civil war, and I know it's easy to do, I've been there, but if you're being bombarded in civil war by thinking thoughts of rejection, thoughts that are poor me, I want to tell you, you're telling your body to reject itself. Wow. Well, I wonder if that might be. I believe it is. The reason why sometimes we go to a doctor and they say, I can't figure out what's wrong with you. Something's wrong somewhere, but I don't see it. Well, I want to tell you, your body's listening. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Think, believe, speak. Supernatural comes. Unbelief hinders. You see that in the Bible? Unbelief's the tug of war. You think small, you believe small, you remain silent, or you begin to speak negative, then you know what? That's the way to get sicker. That's the way to prolong your sickness. God's way, your words are powerful. Let's put our faith in the word of the loving God and agree with His will for you and speak His life, not death. Jesus passed on His badge of authority to believers to carry on what He's been doing. I'm going to say this about the enemy, and I got to wrap up because I can't get through all this. This is my intro. I'll have intro part two next week. But I want to tell you what else this is an intro for. This is an intro for the series we've got going on Sunday morning and on Wednesday nights in home groups, that God wants you well. I was so excited when that scripture, and boy, the Holy Spirit made this so real to me that we have a new covenant. What God did for Israel in the Old Testament, He can do for us right here. And man, in my mind, see the people I pray for, that are the sickest in our body. You know what? We love them. We don't judge them. There's no condemnation. We stand alongside them. And we pray for them and believe in them for health and healing. You know what? The sickest folk we got hadn't showed up for any of these series yet. Now, I want to tell you, that doesn't shock me too much, because a lot of times the people that need to hear it the most refuse to come. I want to tell you why. It's because the enemy don't want them here. The enemy will fight hell and high water in order to try to keep them from hearing the word. Because if they hear the word, he knows he's in danger of them becoming an overcomer, a champion, becoming healthier. And you know what? Able to do and accomplish and walk in more of the kingdom of God and spread the kingdom of God. And that hurts his kingdom. And so he'll do everything he can to keep you from hearing this word. And I want to tell you, that's why that we need to be more determined than ever before not to forsake the assembly. I know the battle that this series presents, okay? And look, I'm saying to you, this is not just a message. I believe this is an assignment. And I want to tell you, in the last days, one of the greatest lights for Jesus Christ is going to be the church. Because I want to tell you something, we haven't seen the last pandemic that the enemy's got up his sleeve. But I want to tell you, what's going to highlight the church is the healing of Jesus Christ through the body of Christ. And I want to tell you, I want us to be on the front line of that, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I want to tell you, that promise is for us. We need to claim it. Well, other churches, well, we're not responsible for them. We don't have to ring the same bell they ring. But I want to tell you, we can walk in this because Jesus has made it possible. The enemy plays the shame, blame game. We're not to be accusers, we're to be forgivers. Okay, look. People get sick, we're not accusing, we're believing. People fail. Well, we've seen some of that lately, haven't we? When people fail, you know what? We're not accusers, that's the enemy's job. We're believers, we're forgivers. That's our part. And so I'm telling you, if there's any situation in your life, in your family, in your job, in your church, in your community, that you have the opportunity to forgive, please initiate it. Please forgive. Because when you forgive, you release the love of Jesus. When you forgive, you release the grace of Jesus. When you forgive, you multiply the kingdom of God in the supernatural to be manifested. If not, you're quenching. Don't quench the Spirit, man. Don't quench the Spirit. Jesus doesn't play that shame blame game. He took all of our junk on the cross. We need to saturate ourselves with the love of Jesus, His Word, resting in Him, depending on Him for our healing. We tell people, don't seek a healing, seek the healer. There's a difference in that. Remember the fallen world, man. This is an imperfect world. It's a fallen world. Not everyone receives immediately. Not everyone ever. Sometimes people just don't receive. Sometimes it takes a long, long time. Sometimes people die before they're healing here and they're immediately healed there. But I want to announce this to you. If you settle for sickness, you will. You will. Let's agree with the Bible. He's love. He's light. He's life abundantly. Jesus used the example. If you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, I mean, if your kid or your grandkid comes up and wants something to eat, you're not going to throw a snake to him and say, play with that, boy. Just play with that for a while. Yeah, it'll bite you. Yeah, it's poisonous. Yeah, it might kill you, but here you go. No. You know, we would lock people up for that kind of stuff. Right? Hey, we're talking about believers here. You have a great, great Father. And you know what? His heart is to do you well, not to do you evil. If you settle for sickness, you will. Let's agree with the Bible. You know what the Bible says? He's life abundantly. I'm going to say this about the enemy because I want to expose him before you go. And I'll cover this more next week. I just want to mention it to you. The Bible says that the enemy, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. Now, I want to tell you what he's looking for. He's not looking for the strong in the Lord. He don't want no part of that. He know he's going to be kicked on down the road. He don't want those that are seeking the Lord. He don't want those who are depending on the Lord. He don't want to come against those who are walking with the Lord. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for victims. He's looking for victims. Now I want to tell you something about him. It's a lying lion. A lying lion. It says like a lion. Well, if it says like a lion, it means he really not one.
Come on.
Hey, Jesus took away his fangs and his claws.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus defeated him. He's a defeated one that's got a costume on to look like a lion. And he's got a voice activator that roars because he really don't have it. I want to tell you something. I don't know lions, but I know kitty cats pretty well. And I had a kitty cat at one time named Bob, and he was a bobtail cat, and he looked like a bobcat. I mean, he was big. His hind end stood up higher than the rest of them. And man, he just had these big paws and everything. And I want to tell you, he never made a sound. But he was top cat in the whole neighborhood. And when another tomcat would come around, I'd say, uh-oh, here it comes. And you know, he'd never say a word. You know, you got these cats in your neighborhood that holler and scream and carry on. It's because they ain't got what it takes to back it up. No, I'm telling you, that's why the fake lion is roaring, because he can't back it up. All he can do is make you scared. Are you listening? I tell you what Big Bob would do. He would come out from underneath them hedges, and he'd be running full speed, and he'd hit him with his chest and knock him down, and he'd be all over him like white on rice. And he'd send him on down the road, and his little Bob would be going like this. You know why? He didn't have to make no roaring sound, because he had what it took to back it up. Why the enemy lion, the lion is roaring? Because he ain't got what it takes. So don't believe the lion. We have authority over him. You don't have to put up with that mess. And so I'm telling you, I wonder what would happen in our homes, in our church, in our families, our neighborhood, if we'd start taking authority, speaking the word of God, speaking to a mountain in our home, and not talking to God about the mountain. God would say, I've already sent Jesus. He's already paid the price. Why don't you take what I've done and believe it and receive it, and with the authority of faith, speak it. And you know what? Take authority over this situation and command it to go. And if it doesn't go at the first word, continue to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might till the enemy leaves. He don't always move at the first word. I'm telling you, there's more for you in this. There's more for our church in this. I want us to walk in it. You want it?
Yeah.
I want to tell you, every service in this series, we're going to be praying for the sick. Our leadership will be up here or in there in that little prayer room, and we'll be anointing with oil. We'll be laying on hands. We'll be praying for the sick. You know why? Because Jesus is our healer. I want to tell you, in the process of this, I tell people, you've heard me say it over and over, don't seek wealth, seek Jesus. Don't seek health, seek Jesus. Because He's the healer, He's the provider. It's in Him that He makes it so, inside out. Can I pray for you right now? Lord Jesus, we thank You so much for the power of Your Word. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have lowered the bar by Your grace, by Your obedience on the cross, that any of us and all of us can respond to Jesus and can respond to Your Word and can respond by faith, because You've given us Your faith to operate in. And Lord Jesus, we want to use our chooser this week to be on the winning side of the tug of war, on the faith side and not on the unbelief side. So Lord Jesus, we want to cause this to be real and evident in our life, and we thank You that You've sent Holy Spirit to show us in a personal, practical way how to apply this to our journey. Thank You, Lord, that You're a personal guide, You're a personal shepherd, You're a personal Lord. And we give You praise. And all the people said, amen, amen and amen.